Brethren, as always, we always start with a question, at least I try to. And up to the present day, I've been always able to, through the Lord, able to come up with some kind of a question that needed to be answered, and it's one of the questions that the world is totally has no understanding or comprehension of. And this is the question: what is meant by the word righteousness? What is meant by the word righteousness in the Word of God? Brethren, you hear me talk about it a lot of times and try to give you an example and a definition, but there's nothing like putting and going right to the source and getting it done where you can always have the understanding of that word righteousness and what it means. First of all, I'm going to give you an understanding of what the world perceives as righteousness. When I went to the dictionary this morning, I went there in the dictionary and I looked up the word righteousness. And the dictionary addresses it like this. Number one, acting in an upright, moral way. Number two, morally right or justifiable, righteous. Justifiable. Then there is righteous indignation. And the word indignation is this: a strong displeasure at something considered unjust, offensive, insulting, or base. Now, as far from our understanding in this Church of God and to the understanding of the world and the teaching that has been teaching here, is totally upside down, as much as the description I just gave you in the definition in Webster's Dictionary and the definition that God has for righteousness in His Word is totally upside down also. That's why this world is suffering so much, and the churches that have Christ on their churches and do not and are not adhering to what righteousness really is are not churches of God Almighty in the third heaven. They are mainly churches of the synagogue of Satan the devil. And if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with Christ Almighty and God Almighty, because He says and He tells you that in Revelation 2, that them that say that are Jews and I'm not. And when He says that, He's talking about the standards that He gave mankind. And if they are not, then they are of the synagogue of Satan, the devil, and they are the teaching places, because synagogue always means teaching places. Always means teaching places. But the thing also we have to understand, that the Lord, the Father gave it to the Lord gave it to an angel gave it to John to give to us. So if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with God Almighty Himself and not me. I'm quoting the pages and the Word of God, not my words. I wanted you to understand right off the bat what the word righteousness is depicted from the Webster's Dictionary. Now we're going to get into what God Almighty says what righteousness is. And that I could take to the bank. You cannot take what Webster says to the bank other than being in this context. And I've said this many times. I see an old lady on the side of a street with a flat tire. I go out there and I physically help her. According to Webster's Dictionary and the definition I gave you, that is righteousness. That is what the world is going on. That's exactly what Satan the devil wants you and I to be going on. That definition, not the definition of God's Word. Now let's get into God's Word and let's find out what God Almighty defines as righteousness and what He wants you and I to be doing if we are Christians. Brethren, you can't see this. There's people that needed to be here today, and Satan the devil has kept them away. We have a prop here that's used in marriages, and they put flowers on it, and there's a gate in the front with trellis. It's a big trellis, it's on wheels, and there's a gate there. Brethren, that word righteousness would either get you to the gates that I'm depicting here right now, and I'm pointing to them, or Christ is going to be on the other side of those gates with his hand up as telling you to stop right where you are. Don't come any further. Don't come any further. But then there'll be some that are walking up. I'm giving you a simulation. That's something that you could put in your mind and understand. And there'll be some that'll be walking up. And he'll say, you, come forward. Come, and open the gates. And you go through those gates. And you'll be with the Lord all eternity. And not only that, that's a marriage gate. And it depicts that we are going to marry God Almighty and Jesus Christ someday. We're going to be doing these things. Understand what I'm saying here. I only wish you could see this gate here. So you could really imagine, but imagine it in your own mind. And imagine you yourself standing on the outside of that gate and the Lord saying, no, not you. The one behind you. Come forward. Come forward to me. He opens up the gate. And he closes it to you. He closes that gate to you. Listen carefully what I'm saying, brethren. These words are the words and the keys to eternal life, as if Peter himself, or Paul, or John, or any of the apostles and prophets were standing in front of you right now today, and I'm not putting nothing on myself, nor would they put anything on themselves. But they were friends of God. They were friends of Jesus Christ. And they were brethren to you and I. I could put myself in that category, but only in that way. Never propping myself up because I'm proud and glad to be able to be a mouthpiece for God Almighty. But that's it. That's it. And trying to help them here, you on the tape, and the future people. That the Lord, if he brings them here, they will hear the word of God and the keys to eternal life to come to that place where I described to you in front of this wonderful looking trellis with two gates in front of it. Keep that description in your mind. As I walk with you through the pages of God and we understand what righteousness really means, and understand what it takes for you and I to walk through those gates. And our wonderful older brother there, standing there for you and I, and waving us forward, brethren. Listen carefully. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess. I always say this, and I'll always repeat it, brethren. They were going to a type of the kingdom of God. Drop down. This our Lord and Savior said in Luke 10 to 25. You don't have to go there. If you're writing scripture, you can write it down. Because he was asked this question by a lawyer who knew the Lord as good as the Lord did, and he was trying to trick the Lord and trap the Lord, and he said, he was asked the question, what are the greatest commandments? The Lord was asked, and he quoted from Deuteronomy 6. Now, I just read you from Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, starting at verse 3. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God your fathers has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear you, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Listen. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Brethren, that's new doctrine, that's New Testament doctrine. When you go to Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, Jeremiah 31:31, it says that the new covenant, that these things would be in your heart. And we serve a God that's the same today, yesterday, and forever. The world doesn't want to understand this. When they read these words, they just dismiss them as just almost idiocy. And it's incredible. Yet they claim that they are serving God Almighty. Why? Basically because God has not called them. But if He's calling you, what are you doing with the words that you're hearing today? Are you doing something about it? Are you going out to find out what the right festivals of God are to keep them? Because God says, you must do them. Go to Leviticus 23. Starting at verse 1, the Lord says that these are my feasts. Or are you still keeping the feasts of the world, like Christmas, Easter, and all these pagan holidays? Is this what you're keeping? Then when you come to that gate, and you see a hand held up stopping you, don't wonder why. Because you're hearing it in your ears today. What are you doing about it? Remember what I'm saying to you here, brethren. Drop down to verse 16 to 19 of Deuteronomy 6. Verse 16. And you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Messiah. The Lord quoted that and threw that at Satan the devil in Matthew 4. Listen, they were throwing bombs at each other, quoting from the Old Testament. There was no New Testament at the time. Wake up. Wake up, you people that are walking around with only a New Testament Bible. Listen carefully what's being said here. The Lord did not quote from the New Testament. He quoted from the Old Testament. Listen carefully. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He gave and commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Brethren, again, this was a type of the kingdom of God. Listen carefully. Verse 19. To cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Brethren, there's a time coming that this is going to happen. There's a time coming that this is going to happen. That you and I are going to be taken to that type of kingdom. But it's going to be the spiritual kingdom of God. Why? Because you are keeping the commandments and the statutes and the testimonies of God Almighty. As is stated in Revelation 14:12. To be a saint of God is to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What Bible are you reading? Are you so blind and so ignorant that you don't can't even understand what words mean? Listen carefully. Drop down to 24 and 25. Listen. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is, as this day. Listen, this is one of the definitions of righteousness. And it shall be our righteousness. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, if you're obeying God, it's not by works. It's a command. You're not doing these things to just try to get anywhere and do anything. God Almighty is commanding you and I to do what He says to do. That's why the big mistake when they say to us, Oh, you're trying to get into the kingdom of God by works.
No, we're not.
God commands you and I to be obeying Him.
That's no more works. That's no more works, brethren.
That's a command to do that. The rest is the grace and favor of God Almighty, that it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. But you have to have obedience also. Like I bring the analogy many times of you yourselves with your own children. You don't give gifts to your children, and you're trying to teach them. I'm talking about on a Friday they give you a bad report card and you allow them to go to a dance or skating or to a movie that night. If you're unbalanced, you do. If you don't love that child, you do. And that's the way most of the world is flying today. But I'm talking about just plain old common force sense. I'm not talking about you have to go to college to understand these things. You should be born with these normal things. These are normal things that are just in human beings. That's why Paul said in Romans 2 that the Gentiles are a law unto themselves, understanding and realizing the last six commandments, because it's God Almighty that reveals the first four, how you're supposed to obey Him. This is what's being said here. It's very, very important. And it's going to make a difference whether you go through those gates that I gave you an example of, or you do not. And whether you'll be in the superior resurrection or not. Would you be given a chance later on? Yes, you will. But the idea is, I want to be there in the first one. I want to be doing the best I can. I'm talking on behalf of myself right now, in the here and now. So when the there and then comes, I can walk up to those gates and the Lord will be smiling when He waves me on, if I continue in the way that He says to continue in. Like He said in Matthew 24, them that endure to the end will be saved. Understand and remember that. And never forget those words that I'm talking about. The once saved, always saved concept is nothing but garbage and dung. Dung. And I'm sure you all know what that is. Okay. All right. Second Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. Here we go. 2 Samuel 22. Very, very important. 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, starting at verse 1, so you get an understanding of what's being said here. 2 Samuel 22, starting at verse 1. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Listen, drop down to 21, verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands has He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him, and have kept myself from my lawless deeds. Therefore the Lord has repaid me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in His sight. But that I just read you the first understanding of the number one righteousness and what God sees as righteousness in Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful, and with the upright man will you show yourself upright. These words the Lord quoted to us in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:7, if you're writing down scripture. With the pure
you will show yourself pure, and with the forward, you will show yourself unsavory. And the afflicted people, you will save. For your eyes are upon the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp. Listen. You should be able to say this also, brethren. You are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. You're writing down scripture, write down Proverbs 6:23, because the law of God is a lamp unto your feet, and a lamp always shows the way and the path, so you don't stumble and fall or hurt yourself or whatever the case may be. Listen carefully, brethren. This is very, very important. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We're going to walk right through this here, right into the New Testament. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Listen. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 143, 142 through 144. Listen. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Listen. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Drop down, brethren, in the same job, to drop down to 72, 172 to 174. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Listen carefully, brethren, listen carefully. Verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. For I do not forget your commandments. Now let's start balancing, if you will, visualize a balance. Let's start putting Webster on one balance. And so far, and I've only started, let's put God's understanding of righteousness on the other balance. And let's see which one tips the scale to the very, very ultimate that a scale could be tipped. Listen carefully, brethren. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. One verse. Proverbs 14, 34. Listen. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Listen, why do you think our country, with all so-called Christianity in it, is having all the problems that we're having today in this country and abroad? Why do you think that's happening? Because of Webster's dictionary account of what righteousness is? Or because of God's account of what righteousness is? Brethren, if you have a scale in your mind, the scale is already tipped considerably. And Webster is on the top. And God's word is bringing that
worldly definition to the top, because it's a feather. It's a feather, and it represents only kindness amongst men and women, not what God requires of you and I. That's one of the big, tremendous differences, because God is offering you and I salvation in the kingdom of God, which is mentioned. I just mentioned that salvation in one of the scriptures that I read to you. Do you think that's salvation? That God says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever changes because we went into the New Testament and Christ Almighty shed His blood so He could cover you, your sins and my sins when we sin out of ignorance, or we do sin but we don't practice sin, and that's the key. You've heard that many, many times from me. Listen carefully. Proverbs 15, brethren. Proverbs 15, the next chapter. 6, verse 6. In the house, listen, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Drop down to verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loves him that follows after righteousness. They that keep the commandments, the statutes, and judgments of God, righteousness. The scale is tipping even further. Listen. Verse 28 and verse 29. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. That's always Satan the devil. And the righteous are of God, that are in the light and none in darkness. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous, the saints of God, the obedient ones, the holy ones. Listen carefully, brethren. Don't be deceived. The scale is still tipping the other way in favor of God Almighty. As always, Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, brethren. Isaiah 51. I want you to hear the other definition of righteousness by two different men that lived way, way beyond their years from one another. That's what I'm talking about. Hundreds of years from each other. Listen carefully. But God's word always stands, because it's the Spirit of God that enables men to speak and to write and to say what's necessary. And of course, there's another spirit that has other men speaking, but they're false teachers and they're false prophets. They're not leading you to the way of to God. They're leading you to destruction, and they're putting the name of Christ on it. Listen carefully. Why do you think the Lord said, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceiving many? That's in Matthew 24. You need to go back there and read it. That's God in the flesh who was speaking to you and I at the time before He went into the spirit realm and into the glory and the firstborn of many brethren. Listen carefully. Well, that's another topic that I gave a sermon on, but they don't even understand what it is to be born again. Listen. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Is Isaiah speaking? On behalf of the Lord. Listen to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock where you are. In other words, where you, I don't want to, home. In other words, where you come out of, and to the hole of the pit where once you digged. Verse 4. Listen unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for light of a people. Verse 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they rest. Listen, this was speaking on behalf of the Lord. Listen carefully, brethren. Verse 6 and 7. Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look upon the earth beneath, for the heaven shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax away like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Speaking of Christ Almighty, that's found in Matthew 24:35 and 2 Peter 3:10. That's where they're talking about. Also, listen, verse 7. Listen unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear you not the reproach of men, neither be you afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation, until the Lord returns. His salvation is from generation to generation, and it's backed by the law of God, because the law of God is in your heart, which I so showed you is New Testament doctrine. It's also in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. That the law of God is put in your heart now. But it's old, but it's from the Old Testament, these things. Listen carefully, brethren, please. 59 of Isaiah. Isaiah 59, listen carefully, 11 through 21. Isaiah 59, 11 through 21. We roar all like bears and roar and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Listen, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our lawless deeds, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. And judgment is turned back away, and justice stands afar off. For truth is falling in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He saw that there was nobody to intercede for you and I. But now we have a mediator, an intercessor, Jesus the Christ, that stands at the door that I gave you the visual of. He stands at that door. And when you sin in a way, not practicing sin, he intercedes for you and I. And he says to the Father, my opinion. Father, you know I was there. I was in that fleshly body. That's why you put me there, to be able to experience all these things. Yet I didn't sin. Yet I know what they're going through. Forgive him or forgive her. That's our wonderful priest that we have. A Melchizedek priest. And someday we will partake of that priesthood. Not now, brethren. There's many men in the churches that want to say that we are already that. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. We're looking to that day. That's futuristic. We can't be those priests unless we're spirit. Not fresh. Listen carefully. Listen. I want you to listen to verse 17 very, very intently. Because this is exactly what your Savior put on his spiritual body And it says in Ephesians 6, what we must have on our spiritual body and armor, this is your Savior and mine. Verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Brethren, those same garments of armor we are to put on as Jesus Christ put on. That's who is being depicted here. Jesus Christ put on a breastplate of righteousness, that the laws of God would be covering his heart, where evil, I'm giving you an understanding here, where evil would not be able to penetrate it. That's why the breastplate of righteousness was over his heart. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. This is very, very, very important, what you're hearing. What you're hearing. Verse 18. According to their deeds, and accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, repaying to his enemies, to the isles, he will repay. He will repay recompense. That's the Lord when he comes back. And us with him. We'll be with him. And he'll take care of all his enemies. But he's given them plenty of time to make sure that they could really get a nice rope to hang themselves. And that's exactly what this world is doing. When he comes back, he's coming back not as the Lamb of God, in a sense as a child, to go for the sword. He's coming back to literally kick butt and kill people right in front of you and I. Because he also says in the Word of God that he will command them that oppose him to be brought right in front of him and kill them right in front of me. Kill them with a sword right in front of me. You kill them in front of me. Them that oppose him and those that are doing all these stupid things. You think you're getting away with these things now? Brethren, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. Let's switch gears, brethren. Let's switch gears. I'm going to the Byzantine translation. Let's please go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians 6. I thought it was appropriate that I bring you here so you can go with the same picture as I just described to you in Jesus Christ in Isaiah 59, that the breastplate of righteousness was on Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to quote to you, Paul, and the armor, the same armor that Christ had on, you and I must have on, brethren. We must have this armor on. Listen carefully. Ephesians 6, and you must put it on every day that you wake up in the morning. Make sure you have this armor on. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his might, the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual power of wickedness in high places. High places means in the heavens. Listen. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. In other words, the same armor that Jesus Christ put on, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having worked out all things to stand. We work things out every day. Are we standing every day when we go to sleep? Are we standing in front of God where we can still walk through those gates that I showed you visually? Listen carefully, brethren. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. I gave you the definition of truth and righteousness. That's in Psalms 119, around 142, 144. Listen. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news to the kingdom of God. That's what the gospel is all about. Besides all these things, take up the shield of faith, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, which is Satan the devil and his demons. Put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the living God, which is the Old and New Testament. Like I said, when Christ was defending God Almighty and battling Satan the devil with words, he says in Matthew 4:4, paraphrasing, that you shall do every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's Old Testament. That's still New Testament doctrine also. Your Lord and Savior tore Satan's butt up with the word of God, with the sword, which is double-edged. Listen, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, brethren. If the word saint is not burned in your memory and understanding, there's something wrong with you. The obedient ones, the holy ones, Revelation 14:12. And for me, that boldness of speech may be given to me, so that I may open my mouth to make known the mysteries of the good news of God, which is the kingdom of God, and it's the doctrine of God also, because without the doctrine, you cannot get into the kingdom. They're together. The doctrines of God bring you into the kingdom of God, which is the good news of God. Listen, they're together. The world doesn't see these things that I'm sharing with you today. They don't see them because they're spiritually discerned, and they're blind because God's made them blind. But you that are not, what are you doing with it? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, listen carefully, 12 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. And indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. But wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. The deceivers are being deceived themselves. But as for you, continue in the things that you did learn and were assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy writings, which is the Old Testament, listen, which are able to make you wise unto salvation and faith, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures are God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen carefully. Where do you think, if you have a visual on a balance, where do you think that is about right now? Just about to the bottom. And this righteousness of the world is sitting on the top, because I'm telling you something, brethren. They're turtles. They worship elephants. But let me tell you something. By the definition of Webster's Dictionary, there's some of those people that make God's people look sick. They make God's people look sick on the definition, on the term that is given from Webster. But which one would you rather be? Look in Webster's Dictionary, or what I'm showing you here. Should we all do as much as we can as the definition of Webster's shows, of course, we should always try to do good. Always try to love our neighbor as ourselves and our wives as Christ loved the church. All these things need to be done. But brethren, that's not the righteousness of God. Listen carefully. We're still proceeding. Verse 17. So that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Listen carefully, brethren. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 9. Listen carefully. This is here, right here and now, as I speak in your ears today. In the there and then, 2,000 years ago, this man was also giving the same thing that he was contending with there, and we're contending with here and now. Listen. Listen carefully. But there were also false prophets among the people, as indeed there will be false teachers among you, who will steadily introduce destructive heresies, personally denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing swift destruction unto themselves. And many people will follow, as authoritative their destructive ways, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. Also, through insatiable greed, will they, with enticing messages, exploit you for gain? What's happening in the Benny Hinn's of this world? Open your eyes and your ears to what's going on over here. This was a prediction for today. And what's going on just before the return of Jesus Christ, for whom the judgment of old is in full force, and their destruction is ever watching. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but having cast them to Tartarus, delivered them into chains of darkness to be kept for the judgment. And if God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah and the eight, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly, that's what most of the world is today. Listen, Christ said, as in the days of Noah was, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And when you see these things, look up, because I'm right at the door. And having reduced the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them with a catastrophic destruction, making them an example for those who would be ungodly in the future. What's going on now? Sodom and Gomorrah is here and well. Go to Disney World on a wrong day and see what you see on the lawns. They're doing all kinds of sexual perverted acts in public. Better start opening your ears. And you better start opening your eyes to what's going on. You live and I live in the last days. Listen. And if he personally rescued righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the lawless ones, living in lascivious conduct, that sexual immorality, for that, and remember, the Lord personally rescued that man. Listen. For that righteous man dwelling among them, listen carefully, brethren. For that righteous man dwelling among them, though searing and healing their lawless activities, was tormented day by day in his righteous soul. Listen carefully. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unrighteous to the day of judgment to be punished. Unrighteous is only the opposite of them that are obeying God. Listen. Listen. Listen carefully, brethren. Drop down to verse 20. 2:22.
I want you to hear these words. I want you to hear them good. For if after escaping the moral defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again become entangled in them and are overcome, the final end is worse than the beginning. If he opens your eyes, that's what he's talking about. Listen to what he says, what's going to happen. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, how to obey God and the statutes and the judgments that I showed you in the Old Testament, which he's saying right here, listen, then after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment. That's the Old Testament, Exodus 20 commandments he's talking about. Go look it up if you don't think it's there. I have. The number is verse 40. That was delivered to them. Wasn't it delivered to them and to us? From Moses? From Mount Sinai? Yes, it was. But it was delivered to mankind. That's where the messes and the deception from Satan the devil is. Listen. But the pronouncement found in the true proverb, listen, and this is still for today. If you have a dog or you have a pig, listen. But the pronouncement found in the true proverb has happened to them. The dog has returned to eat his own vomit, and the sow that was washed has returned to her wallowing place in the filthy mud. In the filthy mud. Listen carefully, brethren. First John 2, brethren, I want you to hear these things, please. We're getting right down to the nitty gritty. First John 2. Listen. First John, second chapter. 24. First John 2, 24 and 25. Listen. Let me start at verse 22. Who is a liar? Who is a liar? If it is not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. But see, that goes with obedience, and I got the scriptures to back that up. Because there's plenty who say they know the Father and the Son, but I'm not obeying God. Listen. Therefore, let what you have heard from the beginning dwell in you. If what you have heard from the beginning is dwelling in you, then you will be dwelling in the Son and in the Father. Listen. Listen, verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Drop down to 28. 28 and 29. And now, little children, dwell in him, so that when he is made known, we may have boldness and not be put to shame before him at his coming. Listen. If you know that he is righteous, isn't Christ righteous? Did he commit any sin? No, he didn't. Listen. But his forgiveness is upon you and I, always, when we stumble and fall and don't practice sin. Listen, here it goes. If you know that he is righteous, you also know that everyone who practices righteousness has been begotten of him. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. 1 John 3, 7-10. Listen. 7-10. Listen what it says about them who practice righteousness are begotten of him. Now let's go to 3, starting at 7. Little children, 2:10. Do not allow anyone to deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God appeared, that he might destroy the works of righteousness.
Everyone who is begotten by God does not practice sin, because his seed of begetter is dwelling within him, and he is not able to practice sin, because he has been begotten of God. By this standard, and by the way, this is the standard of God Almighty, because he brought it down for you, mankind. The angels even live by this standard. Listen carefully, brethren. By this standard are made known the children of God and the children of the devil. Everyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, and neither is the one who does not love his brother. Brethren, if you have a scale, it's to the bottom. It's already to the bottom. It's to the bottom. Okay? Now, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do with the words that were given to you today to hear in your ears, and someday I hope many will hear this before Christ comes back, or the great tribulation, which is already starting, comes. Because the Bible says in Daniel that many will be brought to righteousness, but them bringing them there will die by the sword. Okay? So what? I'd rather have this whole place filled and all of Orange City filled with the word of God and them obeying God and gladly go by the sword. Because guess what? What more could they do to you? The Lord said after that, the only thing that stands to wait for you is the kingdom of God and eternity. Can you measure it? I can't. I can't measure eternity. I can't measure it. Revelations 19, 7 through 9. Listen carefully. Let us be glad and shout for joy. Shout with joy, and let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This little display over here that's here with the little gates on it depict also the marriage, a marriage in our times and our understanding. And I'm trying to show you that we are married to the Lord, man and woman. Listen. And it was granted to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, the holy ones of God. And he said to me, listen, and he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. The word righteousness, the clothing that is always depicted in white. Even if you go to Isaiah 42, salvation and those garments are white, white garments. They're always righteousness. They're always the obeying of God. Listen carefully, brethren, what you're hearing and what you're hearing right now. These things you and I need to be hearing. And we need to be taking heed of what the definition of God is when it comes to the definition of righteousness and the definition of Webster's Dictionary. Brethren, may God give you the understanding to do something which you heard today in your ears. May God bless us all.